Good morning and welcome to worship. Today's service is centered around the gospel for today from the gospel according to St. Matthew, where Jesus is preparing his disciples and then he challenges them to remain faithful to him. A challenge that he does not leave them alone to try and attain on their own, but he promises them victory. And so today we want to see what that challenge is, where we get the strength from to be faithful followers of Jesus, what it means to be worthy of Jesus and worthy of heaven, and not how we are going to get ourselves there, but how Jesus is going to get us there. So may Jesus make us stronger followers and disciples of him through our worship today. The order of service that we'll follow, once again printed in the worship booklet for today, our opening hymn is hymn 232. Let us worship the Lord. Worship continues on page 4 in the service booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love,
and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil. Hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. O God, you have prepared joys beyond understanding for those who love you. Pour into our hearts such love for you that loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson is recorded in Exodus chapter 32. This lesson is the fallout of the well-known account of the golden calf. Anytime emotion gets the best of us, it usually leads to sin. In this case, the people, after being led out of Egypt, became afraid and they worried. They wondered if God had left them. So they made for themselves another god, and this is how God brings them back to himself. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There's the sound of war in the camp." Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of sinning that I hear." When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" "Do not be angry, my lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." So I told them, "Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off." They gave me the gold and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so became a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come. come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and his friend and his neighbor." The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, "You have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day." This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day is Psalm 89, on page 9 in the service booklet, and we will sing the psalm responsively by verse. When God makes good on his promise to build up his people and they produce works of service, including the difficult things of turning away from everything to the Lord, the end result is a blessing, the blessing of knowing that we have praised God with our lives. The second lesson is recorded in 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 10. This lesson is the basis for the sermon this morning. Jesus said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day.
Thank you.
May the peace of the Lord Jesus be with you,
his people. Amen.
I learned something interesting this last week, that the world record for taking a McDonald's store from construction to fully operational is 13 hours. Now, all the electrical and all the plumbing, everything had been run up to the building site that was necessary, but in 13 hours, they went from construction to serving fries because they used a prefab building. It's one of those deals where you order it up, you say, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. They produce it off-site, and then when you're ready for it, they bring it to you, and it goes together real slick. Whether it's a McDonald's, or a home, or a gym, or a church, prefab, pre-engineered, fully customizable buildings. That's kind of trendy these days, fully customizable, all the work done for you, meal plans. Did you know that you can get fully customizable, pre-planned, prefabbed shopping plans? And you get to pick what you want. If you want low carb, you get low carb. If you want low budget, you get low budget. If you want gourmet, if you want paleo, gluten-free, whatever you want, you type it in the computer and it spits out your shopping list. It spits out your cooking times, how to do everything. You don't even have to think. And if you want even more than that, pre-packaged meals. Take this meal out this day, this one the next. Fully customizable, pre-engineered, prefabbed, anything you want. Do you think a prefabbed Jesus is a good idea? Fully customizable, pre-engineered, prefabbed Jesus. Just the right kind of Jesus you want. Maybe it's a panel of experts. Maybe it's some sort of authority. In the first lesson, it was the people. In the second lesson, it's the world. Some sort of expert, you, me. What if we could do that? If we could put into some computer, well, this is what I want Jesus to be like. And this is what I want from Jesus. And this is what I want Jesus' word to be. And this is what I want our ministry to be. And we plug that into a computer, and out comes our fully customized, prefabbed Jesus. You know, that's exactly what Jesus was warning his disciples against right before the gospel for today. He's getting ready to send them out into the world on one of their very first missionary journeys. And he knew the kind of people that they were going to encounter, and so do you. We hear about them all the time, right? They were going to run into the Pharisees and people like the Pharisees, the self-righteous, who thought, no, we don't need Jesus because everything's fine. You know, we're really good people. And if you're a really good person, you'll be okay too. And if you're not a really good person, well, just try harder and be more like us, and then you'll be fine too. There were other people that just wanted to kind of be left alone. You know, Jesus, why are you telling us to repent? Why are your disciples telling us to repent? Can't we just leave it alone? You know, not talk about sin, not talk about repenting, not talk about the kingdom of heaven. Then there were going to be the social elites, right? The healthy, the wealthy, and the wise kind of people. We don't need Jesus. You know, look at us. We're not the poor, we're not the sick, we're not the lame, we're not the deaf, we're not the quote-unquote sinners. You know, just leave us alone. Don't ruin things for us. And you know the kind of opposition that they would face, because they would not give them their prefabbed Jesus. They gave them Jesus. What kind of people, or what kind of prefab Jesus do you suppose people are looking for today? I would imagine that it wouldn't be that different from the prefab Jesus that they were looking for in Jesus' day. You know, why do you got to talk about sin? Right? Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to come off as being the only people who know what the Bible says about everything and tell me that I have to think and believe the same way that you do? And why are you the only ones who are going to heaven? And why are you the only ones who get to tell which people are and which people aren't going to heaven? Why do you get to be the morality police? Why do you get to set the moral standards that I have to live by? You know, who are you and who is your church to do that? Why do you have to upset everybody with all those divisive teachings of the Bible? Why can't you just leave it alone? Why do you have to upset my family? Right? Why do you have to call people on sin in my family? It ruins everything. There's peace in my house until you come over. Why don't you just let this go and grow your church? It's not as hard as you think it is. Right? All you have to do is make your prefab Jesus, and your life will be better. Your family life will be easier. You will have far fewer crosses to bury because you won't have people yelling at you and accusing you of being divisive. And then if you don't like what's going on, if you don't like what you're hearing at your church, if you're fed up, if you're sick, or you're stubborn, you just go somewhere else, and that's that. Right? Go find yourself a new prefab Jesus, and everything is great. Do you have a parallel? Not just out in the world, but is it really in your life? Do you want the kind of prefab Jesus who's just going to leave your family alone? And who isn't going to insist that you go to your relatives and you call them on their sin? You tell them to quit goofing off and get themselves to church? You say, no, you shouldn't be doing this. This is not okay for you. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your faith. Do you wish all that would just go away? Right? Prefab Jesus. I want peace in my family. I don't want discord in my family. Do you want the kind of prefab Jesus that doesn't come with crosses? Right? The cross of being the only kid at school who believes in Jesus? You don't want that cross? That cross can go away. Just throw it away. Or at work, or in the neighborhood, or maybe it's even in your family, and you're the stubborn one, you're the divisive one, you're the judgmental one. You want those crosses to go away? Throw Jesus away. Or go get yourself a prefab Jesus who will give you a pass on all of that. You're sick and tired of trusting that your family's illness or a death that's still troubling you is somehow going to be good for you, and you need to trust in Jesus that it's going to be okay and that you're going to be a stronger person as a result. Well, you're sick of doing that, then throw him away. Get yourself a different Jesus who says, if you love me more, everything in your life will be fine. Go get yourself a prefab Jesus and your crosses will go away. Sick of being part of a church that sticks to the Word of God? Sick of supporting that kind of ministry when there's so much out there that is more exciting and that's growing and that is going places and is trendy and popular? What kind of prefab Jesus do you want? And are you really going to be better off after you get him? I thought Jesus could help Grandma get us through this. But if your prefab Jesus didn't really do all those goofy, childish miracles in the Bible, and if your Jesus isn't really God Almighty himself who walked on water, what's he really going to do for your grandma? Nothing, because he can't. Because you got yourself a new prefab Jesus. Or I thought Jesus could really forgive me. But we can't talk about sin, right? Because we have brand new prefab Jesus who doesn't talk about sin anymore. And so you better start being a better person, because there's nothing to do with your sin. There's no place to take your sin. There's no Jesus who died for your sin. You know, isn't that gross? Isn't that terrible to talk about death and execution? But you got yourself a prefab Jesus. You just have no way to deal with your sin. I thought I had a place to unload my guilt. But guess what? You got your prefab Jesus who's only happy all the time, and we're not talking about sin and repentance anymore at church. Isn't that great? You need some place to go with your guilt? Don't bring it here. Don't bring it to me.
you got your prefab Jesus. It's happy all the time.
I thought I had a place to unload my stress. Well, guess what? You got a prefab Jesus who's only happy all the time. And if you're stressed, it's your own fault. Right? Love Jesus more and all your problems will go away. You got your prefab Jesus. You know, don't bring your problems to me anymore. Don't bring your problems to church anymore. Because we have a prefab Jesus. I thought I could place my trust in a God who always told the truth and always kept his promises and never compromised the truth of his word. Well, you don't have that anymore. But you do have your fully customized, pre-engineered, prefabbed Jesus. Because we've compromised his word, right? We've thrown it all in the pot and we've let it simmer. We've reduced it and we've all sipped it and we all like it now. But the truth has been compromised. God is under no obligation to keep his promises to you anymore. You have a prefab Jesus. And that's kind of a sarcastic way to look at it, but isn't that what you have in the end? When you make your own Jesus? Instead of doing the hard work of following him and his word? Jesus doesn't mince words in the gospel for today, does he? Jesus says, "Do not suppose," is how he starts. Do not start thinking you know what kind of Jesus you need. Do not start thinking you know what God's word should really say. Do not start thinking if only I had this kind of Jesus and this kind of word, everything would be okay. Jesus says, don't do that because that is your first step away from him and away from God and away from your confidence in your relationship with him and away from life and the reward that Jesus talks about. And the eternal life that John talked about in the second lesson for today. Jesus says, do not do that. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. If you do not stand up for the truth of God's word and share it with the people that you love the most, Jesus says, you're not worthy of me. If you back down because you don't want to upset your children or you don't want to, respectfully, upset your mom or dad or go against grandpa or grandma, Jesus says, you're not worthy of me because you have made for yourself your own prefab Jesus who does not care what your family does. This whole idea of being worthy, it's really the picture of a scale, right? You need to have it balanced. Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to be. This is how I want you to think. If you want to be worthy of me now, and if you want to be worthy of heaven. Well, what happens when we don't share the truth of God's word with our families because we're afraid of the discord? We're not worthy of him. We're not worthy of heaven. Jesus says, and anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you start complaining against God and accusing him of not loving you and not directing your life the right way, Jesus says, you're not worthy of me. And if you're not willing to stand up for the truth of God's word, at home, or at work, or at school, if you don't want to pick up the cross of trusting in God when times get difficult and you'd rather yell at him and complain, you're not worthy of him. And you are taking your first steps away from him. Jesus says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. But if you do not want to support people who insist on the word of God, Jesus says, you're not worthy of me.
And if you want to go to a place that compromises the word of God because that's easier, and then you can go places and grow, Jesus says, you're not worthy of me. If you are not willing to support the people who share the word of God with you, Jesus says, you're not worthy of me. If you don't want to help out your church family by giving them even a drink of water that's too much for you to do, Jesus says, you're not worthy of me. And you have taken your first step away from me. You know, thankfully, Jesus came into this world to be what we could never be. And you look at his life, and isn't that exactly what he did? In just these three areas, loving God more than family, and that's not being mean and rude to your family, not taking care of your family, taking up crosses, and supporting the full word of God. Jesus' family up and left him, right? They disowned him because of what he was teaching. And Jesus loved God enough to be okay with that, and he stuck with the true word of God, and he did that for you. For the time he did that for me, for the times that we aren't ready to step up to our own families, the people, again, the people we love the most, and say, here's what God's word says about what you're doing. Jesus did that perfectly for us. And what about taking up your crosses when things get difficult and they stress you because they're stressing your trust in God? Well, I think Jesus had a few stressful moments in his life. And did he ever throw God away and say, I don't want to do this, I can't do this, I don't have time to do this, I don't have the mental energy to do this? No, he never did that. And he literally went to the cross to carry out God's will in his life. And he did that for you. Right? Jesus did that for me because we don't always want to do that and we can't always do that perfectly. And just think, as a little boy, even as a little boy, he was in the temple listening to the people who were bringing him the word of God, and he was supporting them. And then he supported his disciples, and he equipped his disciples, and he sent out his disciples. And he did that for you. And he did that for me. And he never compromised his teaching. And he did that for you. And he did that for me. And he died for our sins. Right? For the sins of not standing up and sharing the truth with our families, for not wanting to take up our crosses, for not wanting to be supportive of the Word of God in a ministry that's based around the Word of God, and for not loving and building up one another. Jesus died for all those sins. And so how does that scale of worthiness look? Right? Without Jesus, or with a prefabbed Jesus, it doesn't look very good. But with the Savior God, who God engineered from all eternity, Jesus lived for you and Jesus died for you. You are worthy of Jesus. You are worthy of heaven. John said, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does not come from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." And that's you, and that's me, because that's what God has made us in Jesus. May God give you the strength and the joy, the strength and the joy to embrace discord, even among your family, even among your friends, so that you can bring glory to his name. May God give you the strength and the desire and the joy to take up your crosses and follow him through life, follow him home to heaven. May God give you the strength and the joy to fully embrace his word and to praise and thank him always, every day, that we are a church that will not compromise the word of God. And give you the strength and the joy to love and encourage one another with that word of God. God has promised great things through his Savior Jesus. Watch out for the temptation to make your own prefabbed Jesus. You have the perfect Savior God, and he loves you. Amen. Please stand. One way we can show our love and support for one another is by confessing our faith together, building one another up in that way. This morning we have the words of the Nicene Creed on page 12 in the service booklet.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we collect the offering.
Thank you.
In our prayer of the church this morning, we will remember the family of Rosemary Blaze. Rosemary was called home to heaven this last week, and there will not be a memorial service here at St. Mark's. So we will remember her and her family. We'll praise God for her victory and remember her family in our prayers. We also offer up a prayer of thanksgiving for the family of Pam Drennan. Pam's surgery went very well last week to remove the cancer, and they are awaiting test results. So we will keep Pam and her family in our prayers as well. Gracious God and Father, we praise you for the countless blessings which we receive from your hand, the beauties of creation and the bounties of the earth, the joy of life and the pleasure of friendship, the good of work and the gift of rest, the privilege to share happiness and sorrow with one another. Above all, we praise and thank you for your saving word and for your Son's body and blood, which you give to us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. Through these means of grace, you send the Holy Spirit into our hearts and unite us to Jesus and to the whole Christian church on earth. Great God and Lord, without your continuing help, we easily waver in our faith, lose courage, and grow careless in our watchfulness. The times and days are perilous. Give us strength to face the evils of each day with fresh confidence. Open our lips to speak of your grace, and move us to use the gifts that you give us to share your word of salvation with all people. Protect and prosper the family, the school, the government, and all good institutions that you have established for the benefit of society. Remember in mercy those who are sick and suffering, and bring your healing to troubled homes and lives.
We must pray for those in need, and to help them with deeds of kindness.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a faithful God, that you promise to equip your people to walk through this life, and that you walk them through this life and usher them home to heaven and bestow upon them the crown of victory that was prepared by your Son from all creation. We thank you that you remained faithful to that promise and welcomed home Rosemary Blaze to her heavenly home. We thank you for her victory, and we ask that you would keep us all living with eyes heavenward, anticipating the day we get to go to be with you forever. However, surrounding that victory, there is going to be sorrow and loss and mourning. So we ask that you would comfort Rosemary's family with the only thing that can comfort, the good news of knowing that she now rests with you. For those of her family who do not know you or who have wandered from you, we ask that this would be a time that you would share the good news with Rosemary's family so that they too might be able to rejoice and one day enjoy eternal life with Rosemary and all your faithful saints. We thank you for the opportunity to pray to you as a Christian family to love and support one another. And so we praise and thank you, along with Pam and her friend and her family, that her surgery was successful. We ask that you give them patience and confidence as they await test results, and give them the strength to say, "Your will be done," regardless of the outcome. However, it is our sincere prayer that you would give her a clean bill of health, and that her cancer may be removed and fully treated so that she can continue to live with her family and bring glory to your name through her life here on earth. Now, eternal God and Father, keep us in the saving faith, and so enable us to overcome all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We make our preparations to receive the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them, to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Holy, 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 Father,
blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. your Savior's true body and true blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting with God. Be at peace with him. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
We join in the song, Thank the Lord, on the bottom of page 17. Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We close with the final stanza of hymn 453, printed on page 18 in the worship booklet. Welcome again to all of you in the name of Jesus who has revealed himself in Scripture. May he go with you and may you walk joyfully and confidently with him in the week ahead. I have a couple of announcements. First, we had Tree of Life Bible Camp last week, and thank you to everybody from St. Mark's who helped, whether you prayed for our camp, you financially supported, or you actually took of your time to go up there. We had, I think, 85, maybe 84, 83 kids. So it was a great turnout. So thank you very much, St. Mark's, for your support of Tree of Life Bible Camp. Also, thank you for your support of Vacation Bible School. We have over 200 children registered and over 50 volunteers. So thank you for that effort. Just a reminder that there is going to be an organizational meeting at 12:30 this afternoon. So if you have volunteered to help in any way, please plan on attending that meeting. If you didn't attend the last one, attend the meeting today, this afternoon, at 12:30. And also, you are encouraged to drop by Vacation Bible School during the week, maybe especially at the beginning or the end of the day, to meet some of the families, especially non-member families and guests who are bringing their children to Vacation Bible School. A great opportunity to do that is Friday after the session. We're going to have a hot dog party, so that's a good chance to mingle and to get to know people. Another good opportunity will be next Sunday. The second service is VBS Sunday. It's very much like our regular Sunday service. The children will be singing during the service, so they'll be singing after the offering, so we hope to have them more involved in the service. So if you would like a more tranquil setting, perhaps the first service will be a little more peaceful. But if you would like to come and see the excitement that Vacation Bible School brings and meet some of these families, then the second service is for you. So please take that into consideration when you determine which service you would like to. It will be a traditional service with a little more energy and activity. Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out, and I will greet you in the back.